MLB reporter, insider for SB Nation, and the site manager for MLB Daily Dish. Chris Cotillo joins us here on Sportsnet today. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Chris, I think we're all still a little hurt here. We're a little injured. At least we have the Toronto FC championship to kind of, you know, ease our pain a little bit. But isn't this just a brilliant move by the Yankees, seeing, you know, vulnerability with the Marlins, that Stanton's only going to go to 1-4 teams, and one of them's being the Yankees, and they missed out on Ohtani? This is a complete slam dunk for the Yankees, is it not? Not even giving up one of your top prospects, too.
Right. No, you know what? I think it's a very, very savvy move by the Yankees. You know, I think I saw a report that said the Yankees were not that interested in Stanton, but they found the opportunity after he rejected the Cardinals, after he rejected the Giants, and then they were not able to get Ohtani, where it just kind of fell into their lap. Obviously, a ton of familiarity there between the front offices, not just Derek Jeter, and obviously there's been a lot of jokes made about that Derek Jeter is going to win the Yankees yet another World Series in 2018, but Gary Denbo and some other guys who he's brought with him from the Yankees organization, having a lot of familiarity with those low-level minor leaguers and ease of communication there to get a deal done. And I think once St. Louis and San Francisco fell apart, the Yankees said, you know what, the talent here is too great to not make this move. We are the evil empire. We have all the money in the world, and we can throw money at Stanton. I think, you know, for the rest of baseball, Stanton and Judge back-to-back was a pipe dream a little while ago, but now it's a reality, and I think baseball should be absolutely terrified about that.
Do you think Miami panicked?
You know, they kind of had to trade him. You know, I think, you know, after all of this and this long saga, they basically had to, and you know, I think their first choice was to make it with St. Louis or San Francisco, and they really were going to try the Dodgers. The Dodgers just, you know, didn't have the room, didn't want to take on the money because that was his first choice. I think that they were kind of resolved that they did have to get a deal done and get one done before the winter meeting started so they could move on to other business. I really don't think that they wanted to deal Marcell Ozuna or Christian Yelich or some of these other guys, even after dealing D. Gordon. So I wouldn't say panicked is the right word, but once their top two options really dissolved there in St. Louis and San Francisco, they said, all right, Stanton, where do you want to go? Give us your teams, and we'll see what we can do. And I think, you know, they really, the whole point this whole time was to unload that money. They were able to unload $265 out of $295 million. They got a couple prospects back, and a guy in Starlin Castro, who is either going to be a valuable major league contributor for them, a guy who was an all-star last year, or a guy who's going to get them some more prospects in a trade. So I think, you know what, the return doesn't look good for a guy like Stanton, but at the end of the day, this was about money 100% of the time, 100% of the way, and they got what they wanted.
Chris, we know the Yankees added about $15 million in payroll because the Stanton contract's just over $10 million, and Stanton's making $25 million. Do you believe the Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner saying, oh, no, we want to definitely get under the luxury tax threshold, we're tired of spending that, we don't want to be that, we want to be a little more, you know, fiscally responsible? Are you buying that, especially when we're a year away from the biggest bonanza free agency baseball has ever seen?
Yeah, I think obviously this impacts that. You know, I always had them as the favorite for Harper. If not the favorite for Harper, then get a guy like Machado, get a guy like Donaldson. But, you know, I think getting Stanton obviously would probably eliminate them from the Harper chase. It might not, because they're the Yankees. I think Scott Boras said, oh, it's not going to eliminate them, just to keep his guy, you know, and keep that dream alive. But for the Yankees, they're actually at a point where, you know, they have some cost-controllable guys. These guys, you know, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez are still making, you know, $500,000, $600,000 each. Luis Severino still in that boat. You know, Sonny Gray's on, you know, also controlled. You have a lot of guys who, you know, are going to get expensive in 2 or 3 years. But at this point, you're really talking about a team that, you know, only a few bad commitments left with Teixeira and A-Rod and obviously now Sabathia off the books. I think if they could unload Jacoby Ellsbury to someone in dumps of salary, they would love to. You know, I think any team is going to be kind of trying to aim for the luxury tax, but they're not going to make that, you know, a huge, huge priority when they're trying to win games. I think there's a lot of teams that always say that every year, and at the end of the day, if they're over that luxury tax, you know, if you're over the luxury tax and you win a World Series, nobody's going to care. I think the Yankees have cemented themselves now as one of the favorites. They were a game away, and they added Stanton, and they're probably not done making some more moves. Like I said, if they can dump some more salary, you know, they're able to get rid of Ellsbury, I think they're going to really enjoy that and try to get under that threshold.
And somewhere Joe Girardi is like in the fetal position shaking. But you know, you look at Aaron Boone, he's never ever had any coaching experience, and now he has these two superstars. Is it going to be hard for him to manage this?
You know, I really don't know Aaron Boone personally. I think it was a very unique move, obviously a guy who's never managed before, and the Yankees they were kind of late to the party. They came at this managerial search after every other team who was interested. Alex Cora, Mickey Callaway were already off the board. So they kind of had to go for a guy that not a lot of people had on their radar. For a young manager, I think a young team is good. That's what the Yankees do have. Stan's a little bit older, but still in his 20s. It's not a veteran team anymore, necessarily. There are some veteran pieces. But, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge, obviously. But Judge is the least ego superstar I've ever seen or ever talked to in baseball. He basically is just awestruck about all of success, not an ego you have to deal with. Stanton may be a little bit more based on his success over the years, but this isn't the Yankees of old where you have all these guys and all this really big egos. I think it should be fine for Aaron Boone.
Chris Cotillo is an MLB reporter and insider for SB Nation and site manager for MLB Daily Dish. He joins us here on Sportsnet today. That's Sherry. I'm George along the Sportsnet radio network. All right, Chris, how does this move and the move that D. Gordon went to the Mariners, that's a team that the Blue Jays conceivably would be fighting for a wild card spot in the American League. We know Ohtani went to the Angels. That's another team that just got a hell of a lot better, a team that the Blue Jays would be fighting for a wild card spot in the American League. When you look around the league, every team's gotten better. The Blue Jays still sitting here, made a minor trade that looks nice on paper to add some depth in the middle of the infield. Does this change the Blue Jays approach, the Stanton deal, what they should do in their offseason plans?
You know, I think these moves are really not the top of the pack in the American League. I think the Yankees now are in that top group, but that wild card group of the Yankees, the Angels, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, you know, the Twins, I think that these types of moves, Ohtani going to the Angels, the Mariners getting D. Gordon, the Yankees getting Stanton, that's a lot of talent being infused into that wild card race and even that divisional race. And that the Yankees are now the favorite in the East. The Red Sox are now right in that wild card race for these teams we're going to probably be looking at down the stretch next year. That makes me really think that it would be smart, and I know Jays fans probably hate to hear this, and Orioles fans will too, that those teams should really look into trading their third baseman. Machado and Donaldson would get a ton on the free agent market. You have two teams that are really angry right now. They didn't get Stanton and want a big bat in San Francisco and St. Louis. I'm sure they'd love a guy like Donaldson, a guy like Machado, and a year away from free agency. I think it really does make sense to shop them. Baltimore's ego is always a little too high to really shop their guys. You know, we saw them not really pull the plug on a rebuild at the deadline. The Blue Jays were really unwilling as well. But if I'm, you know, looking at where I stand as an organization, you don't want to lose those guys for nothing in a year. You know, obviously there's some value in the pick you'll get, but getting proven prospects to me is better. And when you look at the Angels, the Yankees, the Mariners all getting significantly better in recent days, I really think it makes sense to at least assess the options for trading some pieces away this week.
Well, what could the Blue Jays potentially get for Donaldson from a team like the Cardinals or the Giants?
The Cardinals are really the team you want to look at there because the Cardinals have a great stock of talent in the minor leagues. At the upper level of the minors, they have a ton of outfielders, a surplus, Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, Grichik, some of these guys. And then with pitchers, they were willing to talk about Luke Weaver and some of these guys at the upper level of the minors, Alcantara, Jack Flaherty, some of these really big names that the Cardinals have. They have a lot of outfield depth, but now a lot of pitching depth. San Francisco does not really have that depth, but they do have some high-end prospects. Chris Shaw, first-round pick out of BC a couple years ago, and Tyler Beattie was a first-round pick out of Vanderbilt a couple years ago. I think those are the guys you'd have to talk about if San Francisco really wants to make a move. Obviously, those teams want a bat. They were really aggressive on Stanton to the point where they both agreed to deals for him. So I'd be surprised if they don't pivot to another bat soon. I think, you know, obviously Donaldson's one of them. Marcell Ozuna in Miami's another one. And then obviously Machado.
Chris, I totally get your logic about trying to shop Donaldson now and getting the most that you can for him. But what kind of message does that send to the Blue Jays fans that you're still trying to put bums in seats here?
I understand that completely. You know, I think obviously we've seen over the last few years one of the better stretches in the last, you know, decade or so and or more in Blue Jays history. We've seen obviously, you know, some very, very good teams. But it seems like that core it has dissolved. And when you have talent on the roster, it doesn't make sense to go for one more run. To me, you have to look at Kansas City. Kansas City kept that band together at the trade deadline, tried to get one more run with Hosmer and Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar. They're going to probably lose most of those guys in free agency. Hosmer's unlikely to come back. Moustakas and Cain are unlikely to come back. So there you're looking at, you know, they didn't trade those guys for value. Instead, actually gave up young pieces to try to get Trevor Cahill and some relievers and guys like that, Melky Cabrera. And now, you know, they're going to have to embark on a rebuild and trade some pieces Danny Duffy could go, you know, some of these other pieces they have. So you just don't want to risk, you know, not making it, not going for a run and having to set yourself back 3 years when you can actually kind of, you know, sit back, make some moves to keep your team competitive a little bit closer. I think the Yankees swallowed their pride, traded Chapman and Miller, and a year and a half later, where are we? You know, I think if the Orioles and Blue Jays did that, it would be very smart where their organization sit right now.
Chris Cotillo is an MLB reporter, insider for SB Nation, and site manager for MLB Daily Dish, joining us here on Sportsnet today. That's Sherry. I'm George. What are some of the potential free agent targets that the Blue Jays, you think, are really serious about? And what are some of the names that potentially could come here to Toronto?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, if they decide to sell, it would be more veteran one-year deal type guys as the fill-in space. You know, I think in a lot of ways, if they do decide to go for it, Jay Bruce is an interesting fit. He's a guy we've heard linked to them in the past. They've tried to acquire him before. He's a guy who, you know, is kind of on that second tier below J.D. Martinez, below Eric Hosmer in terms of hitters. So we could see that type of move. There are, you know, a lot of kind of first base outfield types out there that I think if they wanted to add a bat, they could add. You know, obviously they did it a year ago with Morales. So those types of things. And then, you know, relievers. I think every team in baseball is looking for relief options. Brian Shaw, Addison Reed, Pat Neshek are kind of the top guys behind the closers and Davis and Holland. So, you know, I'm not expecting a huge move out of Toronto. And again, if they sell, it changes everything. But those types of guys, that kind of second-tier free agents, makes a lot of sense.
I'm still in shock that Shohei Ohtani didn't look at the Yankees. But that's done now, and he was introduced in La La Land yesterday. Is he overhyped, or does he deserve all this fanfare? I'm just so interested and intrigued at what I'm going to see next year.
Yeah, obviously it's a complete unknown for everybody. You know, he's a guy who we've heard so much about for so many years, and I think it's really, you know, to me, kind of a unique player, a two-way player, where he's going to be able to pitch and join a rotation that needs arms, and then also, you know, be a DH as well. So it's an unprecedented thing for a lot of people. It's someone we really don't know anything about. And for the Angels to get him, I think that's kind of the stroke of luck and the jackpot they needed to contend. You know, two of the best players in the world on paper, and Ohtani and Trout. Obviously, we'll see if it translates to the majors in April.
Chris, just to touch on a couple other teams, it seems like Eric Hosmer is a really nice fit with the Red Sox. They need some more power. They need a first baseman. That seems like the logical fit there. And do you really see the Rays finally trading away Evan Longoria?
You know, Longoria is going to be a little bit lower down their priority list this week. Chris Archer, Alex Colomé, Jake Odorizzi are guys that I think they're going to sell this week. And wow. You know, I think those are the guys they're going to prioritize. So Longoria kind of is a different case just because how much he's meant to that organization. They're going to give him no trade rights. You know, obviously he'll have a complete control over where he goes just because of, you know, the respect they have for him. In terms of Hosmer, I think that makes a lot of sense for the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez does as well. I think, you know, Boston, I'm from there, and I've been hearing from a lot of people, friends and a lot of people on Twitter, they need a big bat to match Stanton, don't they? And I think, you know, in that reactionary arms race we've always seen in the AL East, we're talking a lot about, you know, either Hosmer or Martinez being the guy that matches Stanton for them. So I expect Boston to be aggressive. David Dombrowski always is. So that's something to monitor in Orlando as well.
How sore are people in Boston with this acquisition? Because they were never essentially in on the Ohtani race. And I know they got Chris Sale last year, and that was tremendous. But is it full-fledged hating the evil empire again in Boston? And then now they're putting a ton of pressure on management to go and kind of try to match this move?
I think people were really excited about the possibility of Giancarlo Stanton and the Green Monster. And I think early in the offseason we heard a lot about, you know, Stanton and the Red Sox are heating up. That I don't think was really ever close to true. It might have been kind of a posturing thing. So I think, you know, for me, you know, I think the Red Sox fans are always angry when the Yankees make a big move, just because the Yankees actually got farther, surprisingly farther than the Red Sox did this year, despite not winning the division. So in my mind, I think that is, you know, it's always going to be a negative when the Yankees get something for Red Sox fans. But like I said, I expect Dombrowski to be active this week as well.
Well, Chris, we'll see Giancarlo Stanton a lot at Fenway Park playing for the Yankees. So at least he'll be there a few times a year for the next, I don't know, decade or so. So at least they'll get their share watching that guy ram balls off the Green Monster. Chris Cotillo is an MLB reporter, insider for SB Nation, and site manager for MLB Daily Dish. Chris, thanks for doing this today.
Yep, thank you, guys.